All right, here we go. Here we go. We're going to spin because we got a tight window here. All right, ready? And begin.
David. Football David. The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now, here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave. Dave Dameshek. What's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. Of course, things are great here. Bustling, to say the least, because the NFL season has kicked off, as you may have heard. Welcome to episode number 91 of the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available, as always, on iTunes and at NFL.com/Shek, S-H-E-K. Let's get into it right now. No time for musical intros of any kind. Let's say hello to the man seated to my immediate right, ready to help us. Adam Rank, what's the poop, fella?
Hey, boss, thanks for having me. Let's get into it.
I know. I didn't even have time to give all the stuff you do. At Adam Rank, done and done. Then seated right across from us, our pal from across the pond, heartbroken after Ryan Tannehill's shabby performance. Some rookies had a good game. Some did not. Ryan Tannehill was one of those guys. It's Handsome Hank. How are you, Handsome?
Morning, Dave. I'm very well. It's nice to be in the cupboard here with a few other people as well.
The cupboard. It is a full. Talk about bustling. It is a full house, and I couldn't be happier about it. Also, from around the league, the two fellas, the two of the breakout stars of the Dave Dameshek Football Program in over the last 6 weeks or so. First of all, from around the league, Dan Hanzus.
Hi, guys. I'm very excited to be here. Great week one for me personally, so
yes,
I'm ready to roll
New
today.
York Jetropolitans fan. We'll talk about that in a second. Also from around the league, not as happy because he had another one of those aforementioned shoddy rookie QBs. Cleveland Browns fan, Mark Sessler. What's the poop, fella?
Maybe the worst rookie QB of the week?
Easily.
Right?
Well, I mean, listen.
Ever?
It
was ugly.
I have a feeling people say, well, there's no way you can show Brandon Wheat. You know he was going to have a bad game after he gets trapped under the American flag the way he did.
Yes.
I have a feeling that this is one of those ones that just haunts his entire career now. Yeah. I don't know that he ever gets out from under
that.
That
Ryan
Lee is too easy to break out, isn't it? Every time.
it's his Ryan Leaf knock it off moment.
Right, or his Gus Frat headbutt into the cement wall moment.
Yeah, it was an ugly tone setter. I mean, there's no way around it.
Yeah.
Very a dark moment.
You should have cut him on the spot.
Me.
And then also, let's say hello to the man behind the glass, back in the seat after Blue Tie filled his shoes at the end of last week on episode number 90. It's Black Tie. What's the poop?
What's going on, guys? I had to fly out of town again. Sorry.
But yeah, where are you vacationing this week?
Real right. quick, I just want to give a shout out to, you know those guys in the public bathrooms?
You're breaking into material?
Their only job is to hand people towels when they're done in the bathroom.
Yes, I'm familiar with
shout
them.
Shout out to those guys. You know, if you're listening, keep your heads up. Giving you a shout out.
Why are you giving them? I just said no theme music, no anything. We don't have time. We have to talk football. You're giving shout outs to people whose names you don't know?
Through my many travels recently, I realized that some jobs are not as nice as what we get to do. So
okay.
Right. I'm giving a shout out to
so
people.
So this is how you try to make yourself feel better, since there are now people on Twitter who actually have created a handle at Fire Black Tie. Looks like, well, at least I'm not that guy. That's how you make yourself feel better, Black Tie.
That's how I'm looking at it. Shout out to those guys.
I'm just happy. I was a little nervous for a second that he was going to talk about like roadside bathrooms, like
the guys.
Parkways or something.
Right. The Minnesota Senator.
Yeah.
All right.
That
was
an airport, by the way. A little classier.
All right. Where to begin here? We have Nate Burleson coming up for you in just a minute in front of what should be an interesting game. I think a lot of people are handing this one already to the 49ers. We'll get Nate Burleson's thoughts on that. The Lions barely survive against the team that Hanzus and I at least say is going to be better. The Rams are going to go 8-8, and I stand by that after seeing how they looked up in Detroit. But I guess, well, then there's Peyton Manning. We have to talk about RG3. But let's start off with the Jetropolitans. So much talk about them from the moment they went out and got Tim Tebow. And they come out, Tim Tebow, putrid as expected, but the rest of the Jets, pretty good.
Yeah, I think this is one of the biggest games of Sanchez's career, because if he lays an egg in week one, he's getting booed. The media is going to come down hard on him. You know, everything that people speculated in the preseason would have been turned up to 11. But since he comes out, he throws three touchdowns. He looks confident. And Tebow, best of all, barely does anything out of the Wildcat. I mean, he's in a great spot now, as are the Jets in general right now.
Did you think, to me, as I'm watching when Sanchez tries to flip that pass early right. in the game and it gets picked off, I thought, uh-oh. This is grave.
That was very close to a situation where if he made one more bad throw, then the drunken fans of the Meadowlands were going to go nuts. Mm-hmm.
So all the fans of the Meadowlands,
yeah,
pretty
and,
much.
And the most, yeah, and yeah, I've been there. That's the way it is. But and then the most surprising thing that came out of the game is that Tebow at one point comes out into the red zone after Sanchez leads him down the field, and the crowd starts booing Tebow. And like, who predicted that? After all this speculation in the preseason about Sanchez being the one that's getting booed, with Tebow chants being ringing through East Rutherford.
Look into the crystal ball. Do you think, though, that now it suddenly sets up for, you know, the potential circus train wreck of this, you know, of Tebow versus Sanchez and everything? All of a sudden now, it seems to me that defenses are going to have to be more conventional in trying to stop Mark Sanchez, who was effective in the red zone last year. We talked about that last week. So now they're going to have to be more conventional, and that's when they'll hit him with Tebow, yes?
I don't know. I know Tannenbaum said right before the season started that he saw Sanchez on the field 80 to 90% of the snaps. But I really think it's all going to come down to week one. The only thing that didn't work on offense was Tebow. And if it doesn't work in Pittsburgh, they're just going to phase it out, in my mind. They might break it out, you know, to throw teams off kilter, but it's not going to remain an active part of their game plan if it doesn't work in September.
But does it have to be? Because it sounded like the Buffalo Bills were so worried about it
right.
that they forget the game plan
so
for the
never,
other parts.
You never tell anyone you're phasing it out. You dangle it out there every week
right.
and say that this is a possible, whoa, we're going to break out this magical offense.
And then people that want to get behind that will say, well, immediately after two Tebow's Wildcat plays, Sanchez threw two touchdown passes. Yeah, maybe you could read into it like that, but you know, I don't necessarily do that. I'm curious what happens in Pittsburgh to see what happens with this Wildcat.
Yeah, we'll dig into that game a little bit. Mark Sessler, what did you make of on Monday night? I think one of the big stories, or really of the entire week one, is, you know, Joe Flacco says in the offseason, I think I'm the best quarterback in the game, and we all laugh. But there's the model that Eli Manning laid out a year ago by declaring himself elite. I have since declared the word elite is nonsensical, and I refuse to acknowledge it any further. But Joe Flacco, really good?
I think so. I mean, the Ravens as an offense look as complete as they've looked in years. I mean, they have Torrey Smith now, a nice target downfield. Flacco, just he's confident. He looks different to me. I mean, I really want to wait and see on him, though, in the sense that Flacco, there's the good Flacco, and then there's bad Flacco. And we get completely convinced. You know, they torched the Steelers to open week one last year, but it wasn't too long before the other Joe Flacco emerged, and you're just wondering if this guy even practiced during the week. I think the Ravens are just a more complete, consistent team than they've been in the past, but I want to wait. I haven't seen more than one game.
I agree with you in that, because I was going to refer to the exact same thing. At home in Baltimore to start the season last year, Pittsburgh rolls in there, they smoke them, but it's different. As the comparison I always make is that the Steelers are Moby Dick and the Ravens are Ahab. Their obsession with the Steelers trumps all, and that's why every time they play a game after that game, they always lose or come out flat in that. I think a little bit different this year. I think they have a different swagger. This defense is not going to be as good, even though it did have its moments against Cincy on Monday night. It's going to be about Joe Flacco. I think they're going to try to play a different kind of ball. And Torrey Smith, although he wasn't a huge factor against the Bungles, I think that he will be as a seed. I think he's going to end up being, or should I say, he's an elite wide receiver. Can I apply elite
no.
to wide receivers?
No.
Handsome. What was your takeaway? What was your big story of week one? What was buzzing? Well, man who runs the homepage at NFL.com, what was drawing the heat from the viewers?
What was drawing the heat? Well, for me, it was, you know, scoring is up. Passing yardage is up. Field goals are up. Everything's up. It was exciting. It was exciting to get back to football. What I really liked is, like, the breathless offense. Everyone was running hurry-up offenses. You saw just a ton of plays being run. It was different. The NFL's changing. Fast.
Rank, what did you make of one of the big stories? Peyton Manning's performance. Is this now, or do you adjust how you, because you and I both say middling results for the for the Broncos this year. You and I both hip on the Chiefs to win the West. Are you now adjusting that after 60 minutes?
If the Chiefs defense can't get healthy, it's going to be a problem for them. They looked a little bit undermatched going up against the Falcons, who were just able to throw all over them. Matt Ryan looked fantastic. The Falcons look a lot better than a lot of people were giving them credit for at the beginning of the year, or at least I was not giving them the credit. The Chiefs are going to have to do some work on defense, and the Broncos, the scary thing was is that they were pretty balanced. Peyton Manning didn't have to do a whole lot, and then when he did have to do something, he looked pretty good. So the Broncos are probably going to be, if they can keep Peyton Manning healthy, and it didn't look like there were any ill effects. I know you've talked about Peyton Manning not being able to last the season. I'm talking to Hank. I didn't see that like it's going to be an issue.
No, right. I mean, not right now, but I just feel like there's a hit coming along along the track somewhere where he's not going to make it.
I think calling Manning's week pretty good is an understatement. The guy, once they went into the no huddle in the second quarter, they never stopped him again. Three touchdowns and a field goal.
Yeah, Tim Tebow also torched that defense last year. They were without Ryan Clark. They were without James Harrison. They had some other injuries there, too. So, hey, let's make sure the Steelers are who we think they are before we say, hey,
well,
you know, that was
a good point. It is troubling about the Steelers that offensive line that they took, their focus clearly in the draft was let's fix this offensive line, which has been crummy for 5 years now. And obviously, DeCastro goes down. He may or may not play at all this year. Mike Adams, the second round pick out of Ohio State, looks like a complete bust. I know offensive linemen round into shape, or they just get round and then they eat themselves out of the league. But Mike Adams right now struggling there, cannot be put in there at the left tackle, certainly, and they optimistically hoped he would. So that's a real concern. But to Rank's point, yes, Ryan Clark's not out there. He makes a big difference in the secondary. What we learned more than anything else is that Peyton Manning, I overstated this whole, he's a coach on the field. You know, he's redefining the way the quarterback position is played because he's calling plays out there on the field. Yeah, until about 20 years ago, they all did. So so that's fine. But what he did do cleverly was identify where Ryan Clark's replacement, Ryan Mundy, was on the field and just picked on him all through the second half and abused him in particular. And then, once again, Demaryius Thomas owned Ike Taylor. Tebow, Peyton Manning can change. Right. The one thing that ain't changing is Ike Taylor. You don't want to play Demaryius Thomas ever again.
Again, and it wasn't like he threw a bomb to him. It was a short little screen. Boom, gone.
Yeah, so I will be interested to see the thing is, my takeaway more than the Peyton Manning aspect is Von Miller is maybe going to be a top two or three defensive player, however we can gauge these sorts of things, with JPP and DeMarcus Ware.
Alden Smith
is a guy, I mean, but he's up there. Von Miller is dominant with the speed. There's just nothing you can do to handle that, and that's never going to go away. And then you have a capable pass rusher on the other side. Now I think let's have mulligans now. If you want to change your divisional picks, I'll allow it 1 week into the season. We've at least seen a little bit of work here. I do caution you that people getting too high or too low about things, as I wrote the other day in Major League Baseball terms, I wrote a new checklist, which you can find NFL.com/SHEK. We're 10 games into the Major League Baseball season. At that point in 2012, back in April, the Mets were in first place. So take it with a grain of salt. But now you can have a mulligan. Are you changing your pick in the AFC West, Hanzus?
No, I mean, I had the Broncos, so I'm staying there.
So you like it, yeah. Sessler?
I think I will.
You are going to make the change.
I think I will. I'll tell you why.
Big man.
I was just very impressed with Manning, and I had them finishing 7-9. Why not? You're giving me a chance to change?
Are you going
to
change? Well, also, the other thing to consider is, I know the backup punter is, I'm a backup snapper, long snapper is the story from the Chargers-Raiders game, and deservedly so. That obviously just throws the whole second half out the window, and you can't read too much into it. But the Chargers look pretty good. Mm-hmm. Are they a factor now?
I think they're always a factor because you don't know if they're going to either start slow and then blow up at the end of the season or do the exact opposite. I mean, I think, you know, Philip Rivers makes that team dangerous in any game during the season, but Denver takes that division.
I felt like I didn't learn anything from the Chargers yesterday. I mean, I thought that the Raiders didn't show up. Palmer wasn't looking anywhere but at McFadden to pass the ball. McFadden had
13, it was weird.
13 catches. I know he was playing without his top receiver, as Palmer was. And then you had, like you said, the special teams mishaps. The Chargers didn't have to do much on offense. And even with those bad snaps, they only got 3 field goals out of 2 horrible snaps and a blocked punt. So Philip Rivers didn't blow my mind either. So I need
to
wait on
Ronnie Brown was playing. I think the team will be a little bit different when Ryan Matthews is in there.
Perhaps, if he's healthy. I'm not, you know, in on Ryan Matthews.
But Darren McFadden did look good. He just seemed to be, too much of the focal point of that offense. When your guy, the guy is coming out of the backfield, it's a little hard for him to get downfield. But once the Raiders decided to try to push the ball downfield, Carson Palmer happened to look pretty good. He actually had some zip on the ball like I haven't seen in 3 or 4 years out of that guy. So maybe that's cause for optimism. But Handsome, you still like who you like in the AFC West?
I picked the Chargers, actually. And I think, I was very impressed with what Peyton did, but I'm going to stick to my word. I'm going to stick with the Chargers and say that, you know, that division's going to eat itself, and one of them comes out on top with a 9-7 record.
And at some point, the weather's going to change in Denver too, and we got to see how Manning responds to that.
And we're not, that's a valid point that'll be interesting to see. In the AFC East, Jets give anybody any reason for concern?
I just want to slow all of this down. I mean, I'm happy that the Jets fans have having their fun and everything else, but it was the Buffalo Bills, and I think people got very overexcited about the Bills' defense during the offseason with the Mario Williams signing and then a few of the other additions they made. I'm not sold. I didn't see anything. I mean, and again, we shouldn't judge anything from the preseason, but in the preseason, they were dire, and they were terrible again on Sunday.
I like that. It was dire. What about, and of course, it's important to keep in mind that Ryan Fitzpatrick is still their quarterback.
Yes.
That's a real problem. All right, one-word answer. Let's go around real quick here, starting with you, Rank. I'm going to go through the divisions. You just tell me who's going to win it now. I don't care who you said in the past. Just tell me one word. AFC East.
Patriots.
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 Patriots. AFC North.
Raven.
Ravens.
Ravens.
Steelers.
Really? Wow, I like where your head's at. I'm gonna say the Ravens. I said the Bengals, but after that abusive game that they just laid on Andy Dalton and company, hard not to do that one. AFC South.
Texans.
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 All right, I'm going to say the Texans, but I do still like the Titans to get into the playoffs. AFC West, you see
Chiefs.
You're staying with the Chiefs.
Chargers.
Broncos.
Broncos.
I'm going the Broncos, too. I got to get off the Chiefs there now. Yeah.
Why are people so quick to make excuses for the Chiefs? I noticed Adam did it earlier.
Because he picked them to go to the Super Bowl.
I know that, but last year it was all about, they had all these injuries. Other teams just get slammed, injuries regardless. Right. Like, the Chiefs, and then the same again. Oh, well, if their defense gets healthy. Well, tough, you know. That's what depth is about.
Also, they got lit up at home, too.
Right.
That was a pretty troubling loss. I know Atlanta has potentially a great offense and maybe the league's best offense if everything clicks. But, I mean, to get a 40-burger laid on you at home in your opener, that's a disconcerting situation.
Two words, Romeo Crennel.
Yes, touche. Yeah, those are my two words for you, touche. Rank, let's go to the NFC. The East, the Cowboys look good.
Sticking with the Cowboys.
You're sticking with them?
Sticking with the Cowboys.
Sticking with my Giants.
Giants.
I don't want to be Romney-esque and just keep switching everything. So I'm going to stay with the Eagles, but Michael Vick not looking exactly terrific in Cleveland. NFC North, interesting. Now Packers looking up at the other three teams in first place.
Sticking with the Bears.
Sticking with the Bears.
Same.
Packers, come on.
Packers is the correct answer there. NFC South, Atlanta look gangbusters, but Tampa looks nifty. Rank.
Sticking with the Falcons.
Saints.
I had the Saints, I'm sticking with it.
Same, Saints.
Oh, no.
I'd actually pick the Panthers. I was seeing if anybody was paying attention.
That's right. I forgot.
But all the Falcons. By the way, Cam Newton scares a bit. Just, it's frightening.
Grimes now out, though. Grimes out.
And
that is bad for Atlanta, but I think they're set up to be one of those teams that just outscores everybody.
As long as they can play at home. I mean, I know they lost to the Packers at home 2 years ago, but they don't have to go outside to play the Giants. So they can play a couple of home games in the playoffs. That team's pretty scary.
Yeah, no mirage too. The way they ran things in KC on Sunday, they're not going to. Michael Turner is not going to emerge as a factor unless he gets completely ignored. Then they can,
they don't
use
need
him. Yeah, yes, the offense has shifted away from that kind of football. NFC West. This one we don't even need to talk about, right? Niners, everybody. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Wait, what about the Cardinals now?
All right, go ahead, make your case.
No, I'm not going to make my case. Good. Is Kevin Cobb the best non-pressure quarterback ever? Like when it doesn't matter, when he's playing with house money, he's fabulous. He did it when he filled in for Michael Vick. Then he goes into that game against the Seahawks where it doesn't matter that the Cardinals look terrible anyways. It's like, yeah, whatever. And he throws, when he completes 6 of 8 passes, leads the team down, touchdown.
He's
the Mike Tomczak. He gets the Mike Tomczak award. He's great off the bench, but if you start him, he can't do it. Somehow he has to be the Don Strock. That's another guy who was good in that role. All right, but I heard nobody when we talked NFC East. Nobody brought up the Redskins and their chances to compete. Presumably good defense, and then more than Sanchez, Tebow, more than Peyton Manning. I think the story is Robert Griffin III and the way he looked. Sessler, talk about it.
I thought he was, please, what more could you have asked coming out of the gate? You know, it was strange because they held him back in the preseason, and there was even whispers, he may not even be better than his backup. But that's nonsense. They let him loose on Sunday, and, look at this guy. I don't think we've seen an athlete like this at the quarterback position. He's special, and, he's not a rookie the same way we talk about the quarterbacks that, Henry and I seem to have attached ourselves to in the AFC.
Yeah, well, we'll get to it. I do want to hear your thoughts on the have-nots there named the Miami Dolphins. I've been saying that since on one hand, I don't like when people use their anecdotes about I met him and therefore I know he's going to be good because he told me he was going to be. But I will say, Robert Griffin III, if you watched him at Baylor over the last 4 years, and a lot of people say, nobody knew anything about him until last year. I remember him from his freshman year being terrific.
What are you doing on Saturdays?
Yes, I remember watching him over the last 4 years, but what was really striking, and you hear about, he's a law student and everything, but he's clearly one of the brightest guys you can meet in the NFL, and then you add that in to the cannon he has for an arm and the fact that he can run like that. He is slight, and he's not Cam Newton, and that's a bogus comparison. He's clearly a brighter guy than Cam Newton is, not to diminish Cam Newton, but this guy is a law student. He's a sharp cat. The only problem for the Redskins is I still don't love their pass catchers, but that division once again is going to be brutal. I'm going to stay with my Eagles pick there because I do think that defense should be pretty good, and let's not just assume that Brandon Whedon is a complete bust and maybe looking at it glass half full for Mark Sessler and Browns fans. Maybe they just ran into a defense that was supposed to be great in 2011 and will be in 2012. Now, Handsome, talk about Ryan Tannehill, what you saw in Houston.
Okay, I'm going to do a bit of shilling first because I really believe it. I used NFL Game Rewind. If you haven't bought that product, it's fantastic. You can watch a condensed game, so you can it'll cut out. It'll cut out all the crap between plays, right, and you can watch a whole game in 20 minutes. And I watched Tannehill last night and watched every snap, and he was. He did some good things, and he did some things that made you think, well, that's obviously a rookie who's having trouble in this first game against a pretty good defense, to be fair. The interceptions were, two of them were on tip passes. He probably was responsible for one of them, and one of them was just unlucky. But it was what you expect from a rookie quarterback. It was exactly what I expected from the game. And actually, through the first 30 minutes when it was, I think they were in the lead at halftime or just up to halftime, I was pretty excited about it, but it went exactly the way I expected it to.
All right, quickly, let's go around here with this thought. I have all the games from week one in front of me here. Tell me if you think, in as quick as you can, mirage what we saw in a good way or a bad way about the team. Cowboys, rank.
Not a mirage. That defense is going to be better. They're going to be in the hunt.
They're for real with DeMarco Murray.
The team wants it this year.
Yeah, I think they're going to win 10 games.
The Bears smoke the, probably not very good Colts at home. What do you think about Jay Cutler, Brandon Marshall, and so on, Handsome?
Limbering up for a big one. I don't know what that means.
What does that mean?
I have to really think about it. You're talking about Thursday Night Football. against the Packers.
Well, that, but also the rest of the season.
Okay. All right. Sessler?
Did what they needed to do against a weak opponent.
And you think this team is for real, a Super Bowl contender?
I picked them to win the division, and I see no reason to change my pick.
Hanzus?
I thought Henry was referring to TD's rest stop adventures again. I don't think
Frank 6 seconds behind on that one, but he delighted in it when he got it.
The Bears, I need to see more. I'm still not convinced, and the Colts then. Beating the Colts doesn't show me anything.
I forgot everything we were talking about. That was so good.
The Bears are for real this year. They're the second or third best team, I think, in the NFC this year. Packers, what about the Packers, though, since that's who the Bears play on Thursday night? What do you think? The Packers, it's possible that this team, just the defense is not fixed, that they tried to add some pieces there. But, you know, the 49ers beat them up, basically, on both sides.
I like Aaron Rodgers, and I love the discount double check, and I like that stuff.
I don't
you
like that. So
hold
much,
on,
but anyway,
you mean the celebration he hasn't done in like 2 years?
Oh,
I saw him in the preseason.
He barely does it at all.
Why?
He hasn't done it in like 2 years.
You know, you always want to adhere to the tight 45, and you're like, hey, we only got like 30 seconds left of the show. But you have no problem dropping like a 2 minute bit at the top of the show, which I hope was cut out. And now again, when I'm trying to make a point, you come in with your non sequitur.
Sorry, it's a pet peeve of mine. That's
yes.
All.
Speaking of pet peeves, I'm looking right at him. And so the thing is that you lost horribly to the Giants last year in the playoffs, and you're like, that was on us. We weren't prepared. So you open the following season against your number one rival in the NFC by betting boys to men that you'll wear an Alex Smith jersey. What are you doing? Like, I thought this was – you're supposed to be focused. You have it. I mean, you clearly it hasn't gotten through to you that you need to bear down and focus and try to win games, and you're too busy with this extracurricular stuff. So to me, that's a big concern for the Packers.
Well, will that be the headline on Friday morning on NFL.com? Bear down.
I try not to. That's another one like a Titanic struggle, or they just got luck.
Yeah, unlucky. You didn't use that on Monday morning after the Colts lost.
I told you, I vowed not to use that headline at all.
Bear down.
I actually have also now retired Golden Boys for the 49ers if they do anything good.
Oh, congratulations. We should have a running list.
Hanzus, that we should.
Put that on the Damashek page.
Hanzus, what about Mike Vick's performance? He says that it was, you know, he apologized to his teammates for not looking very good against Cleveland. How say you?
I'm a little worried about Mike Vick. I'm starting to get a bad vibe that he's never going to approach what he did in that one season with the Eagles, and he's going to be an up and down guy, and he's going to get hurt, and he won't be an Eagle next year. I think it's going to be a rough season for him.
What do you think about, fellas? We talk about Joe Flacco briefly. In an AFC that a month or two ago, if you would ask me, I said, man, there aren't very many teams that I can pick out that aren't going to the playoffs. But that ignores the fact that I don't think there are a lot of top-tier teams. The NFC, 49ers, let's see what the Packers. I have to say my confidence is shaken. I think Aaron Rodgers goes down in history, I'll say it for the millionth time, as the greatest quarterback of all time. But I am suddenly kind of nervous, especially, obviously, they need this game against the Bears. They must win this game, or they're 2+ down to that team. But the Ravens now, all of a sudden, they, you know, the Lee Evans pass and so on. We don't need to mention that ever again. But outside of the Patriots, who's as good in the Texans is at the top three, I guess, pretty much, right, Sessler?
I think so. I mean, the Ravens are just like in the form of the Steelers, just such a consistent organization that, you know, they didn't need to go out and add a million new pieces. Ray Lewis just loses 25 pounds, sheds 15 years off his, you know, form, and becomes 10 times better than he was 4 seasons ago. Ozzie Newsome sitting up there in the box, and he looks delighted. I mean, the Ravens to me are the team to beat in the AFC.
What can I just ask? What is Peyton Manning and the Broncos? What do they have to do to become a favorite and be in this conversation?
They are a favorite. They're in the mix, but I don't think that they're
probably that fourth team now. And they need a couple more wins to get up into that top three.
If they go into Atlanta on Monday night and beat the Falcons, are we in on Peyton?
Yes.
Manning?
I think we are in on him already, though. I think it's just
doesn't sound like it.
I know the defense was dynamite last year. It looks like it's going to be pretty good again. So yeah, what is the flaw of this team? They have two good young wide receivers at least. Jacob Tammy had a nice game on Sunday night.
I guess we're all, what Hank said earlier, we're all waiting to see if Peyton Manning can stand up for a full season.
I just need to see more than 60 minutes of him in action. I think the Falcons, that's a great test.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, by the way, you know, thinking of, you know, we just had Suck for Luck all last year. Handsome Hank on the last podcast asked for the help of the Czech Republic. He said, what can we call, because everybody knows Matt Barkley is going to be the number one in the April 2013 draft, and who the candidates are to do that. But what shall we call this campaign? Right now the Browns are maybe have emerged after Brandon Whedon's lousy first performance. What shall we call it? I solicited submissions. I'll run those on NFL.com/Czech later in the week. But I don't think you're going to be able to beat this one. Lay down the welcome, comma, Matt. That's my idea. I want T-shirts made. Do you like that? Will you sell that? If I made that in brown and orange, would you buy that as a Browns fan?
Today? Sessler? I'm not jumping ship that quick.
Oh, right. Really?
Yeah.
After you go into Cincinnati and lose in week two?
Talk to me next week.
All right.
Can he up his five passer rating?
I do. Each week I do the alternative rankings, too, because we like to talk about who's number one. I want to talk about who's going to be number one in April. And we've got a couple of representatives here. We've got the Browns, who came in at number four this week, and the Dolphins, who are number three.
Ryan Tannehill back at wide receiver in 2013.
Tannehill is not the problem for that team. They've got a bunch of other problems.
All right, quickly, let's blow through. We have a gangbuster slew of games here. Let's first of all hear from a guy who's going to be playing in one of those games. It is from the Detroit Lions, Nate Burleson. All right, Rank, here he is. We delighted in his company in the offseason, and now he's joining us. He's one of the 1-0 Detroit Lions looking down at the Green Bay Packers in the NFC North standings. It's Nate Burleson. What's going on, man?
Nothing much. Just relaxing, enjoying my day off out here in beautiful Detroit, Michigan.
All right, what about that? Is the buzz like, wow, look at that, the Packers are in last place?
No, I don't think people are getting that excited just yet. They're still the big brothers of the conference, and it is early in the season. You know, Coach told us after we won, it really doesn't matter how you start, it's how you finish. You know, regardless if you won your first game or lost your first game, you know, we're still going to have to play a lot more games and win a lot more games if you want to do something special.
Let me ask you, a lot of things we have to get into. We'll talk about the Rams game and look ahead to the Niners game in just a second. But something I complain about all the time is this. If you're in the NFC North, and this also goes for the Minnesota Vikings, what do you think as a Lion? Shouldn't you guys rip the dome off? Don't you think it would be cool if you had the home field advantage, especially as it starts to get colder out in November and December, and then presumably optimistically in January when you're hosting some home playoff games? Wouldn't it be nice to be outside in the elements?
Well, it sounds good in theory, but as a player, I feel like it's a disadvantage for both teams. You know, I'm a receiver, so if it's snowing and it's cold out there, it's going to be cold for the defense and cold for the offense. So I feel you on, you know, having the advantage and opening up the roof. And I played in Minnesota, and now I'm here in Detroit. I definitely don't want to play in negative 10, negative 5, 15 degrees. I'd rather be inside, warm, where I can go out there and play ball and not have to worry about the elements. But that's just me, from my perspective. Other guys think differently, though. You might see a guy who's in the interior, a linebacker or a lineman, who wants to play in those conditions because they might have the advantage. But as a receiver, I'd rather have feeling in my fingers than be able to catch the ball.
It hurts getting hurt. Believe me, I played plenty of backyard football in the Northeast growing up. It hurts when somebody hits you when it's cold out. But listen, they put the dome on there for the Nancy fans. You know, it's nice to be out in the elements, especially when a team like Arizona or somebody like that rolled into town. Not that Arizona's making the playoffs, but a team like that rolls into Detroit. If it's nice and cold in January, distinct home field advantage.
Yeah, but everybody, they don't practice outside, so it's not that big of an advantage.
Touche.
But you talk about, but you were talking about Coach saying, you know, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. I guess you could have described that as your week one game against the Rams. Matthew Stafford started off a little bit slow. He had the three interceptions, the one touchdown on the final drive. It looked like his mindset changed. What did he say to you guys when you went out on the field with what appeared to be, you know, a game tying field goal, but you guys went in for the win? What was the mindset like in the huddle?
You know, after each interception, he would get back in the huddle and tell us that we're good to go. Let's go down and score. Let's get back in our rhythm. And I remember specifically at halftime, I forgot who it was. They came up to him and said, "Hey, man, you all right? You good?" And he said, "Don't worry about me. I'm ready to go." And this is after a couple of mistakes. And that's the type of player he is. That just shows his maturity. Even though he's young in age, he plays and approaches the game as if he's been in the league for quite some time. So I knew that he was going to get back into the swing of things. And I talked to him actually yesterday after practice, and we were just talking about how the game went. And he looked at me and said, "Aside from those three interceptions, we moved the ball very well." And I told him exactly, you know, that's a great sign for us. You know, we can take back an interception. We can make a different decision when it comes to placing the ball somewhere or running a better route. Now, if we weren't moving the ball, then there's a whole lot of issues we're going to have to address. But we went down, I think it was 2 80-yard drives, and just made a mistake in the red zone. And for us, it's okay. You know, we're fine with that. We're going to correct those mistakes and get back to Detroit Lions football.
Nate, I look, first of all, you're making me look a little bit bad here. I don't mind telling you that, you were a swell fellow when you came in here to Studio 66 in the off season. But I was singing songs about Titus Young. This was his big breakout year. He only catches one pass, while one Mr. Nate Burleson grabs 6 balls for 70 yards. How say you? What's going on there? Are you clearly the guy getting singled up now that Calvin Johnson is being double and triple teamed?
Well, you know, in the game, I actually wasn't getting singled up too much. You know, I hope that I get single coverage each game. I mean, I think every receiver who has confidence in himself wants to get that type of coverage. But we were getting a lot of zone. They were dropping back. They were making us earn it, which is why we were going 80 yards methodically, 14-play drives. They didn't want to give us too much leeway to go out there and play against a one-on-one coverage DB. But Titus, he's a good receiver. And I told him actually before the game, I said, you know, you guys need to find your reason, find your why. Whatever it is, before we get into this game, as a group, find your why when we go out there. Find what's going to motivate you and get through this game. And I told them that Titus Young and Ryan Broyles, you guys are my why. You guys are my reason this offseason. The reason I lost weight and got in the best shape I've ever been in my career is because I got 2 hungry second-round draft pick receivers who realistically are here to take my job. And I told them that. So they know what my motivation is, and they know why I go out each day to prove that I'm still the best complement to Calvin. And I told Titus, and I know you're coming in every day to prove that you're better than me. And with that type of competition, it's going to make us a better team. Now, there's going to be games where I might catch 1 or 2 balls, and Titus is going to have, you know, 5 or 6. But as long as we're being productive as a team, you're not going to hear any complaints out of Nate Burleson.
I like that, the find your why. You're like Jack Palance talking to Billy Crystal in City Slickers. That's got to be one of your favorite movies, right?
I do like City Slickers. You're right about that.
What about now? You're coming up on the big game Sunday night in San Francisco. It's the rematch from the big story of 2011, the handshake debacle. What's the buzz? Are you guys talking about that at all? Are you talking to Jim Schwartz at all about whether or not he should shake hands? What's the buzz in the locker room?
Nah, we haven't talked about it much. I think that's water under the bridge. I don't know how the 2 coaches are feeling. You know, I can't speak for them, but as players, you know, we're just looking for an opportunity to go and get a game that we thought we should have won last year. They came down and they played tremendously at our place and won in the last seconds of the game, and that just set wrong inside of us all year, and it killed us. So we're going to go down there and try to return the favor. You know, they're obviously a team that everybody's gunning for, especially with them beating Green Bay the way they did. You know, they're at the top right now, and we love the challenge of that.
Let me tell you something, Nate. Let me just give you a suggestion. You know, you remember when you were growing up, I love doing this with my kids all the time. Give me 5 on the side, down low, 2 slow. Tell Coach Schwartz to do that to Harbaugh. That'd be great. That would be shown not just around the U.S. of A., around the globe. Everyone would love that if one coach did that to the other.
That would be classic TV right there. I think that would be the most highly watched YouTube clip of the season if he did that.
Absolutely, yeah. I don't need any credit for it. You take credit for it, and it'll be great.
I think they should reenact that as an end zone celebration.
Hey, you know what? I really like that. I'm in the end zone celebration. So that one right there, might be something I'll pull out in San Fran.
Yeah, that's what you got to do that. And you talk about this. It's a great point that you made about San Francisco beat Green Bay. So you want to beat these guys. But seriously, like between us, you want to beat Jim Harbaugh a little bit. It just seems like a coach that fires up the opposing players just because he's so demonstrative on the sidelines.
Yeah, you know, he's kind of like that player that you hate. But when you play with him, you love him. You know, I remember being in Seattle and coming to Detroit, and Louis Delmas told me, he said, "I really hated you. Every chance I had to hit you, I wanted to hit you. Just the way you celebrated, the way you got your guys going, the type of smack talk that you had during the game, I didn't like you at all, but I'm glad you're here now." And you see Jim, and he's the same way. He's fired up. He's over there. He's animated. And you think to yourself, like, man, that guy is doing too much. But I'm pretty sure if I was a player playing under him, that I would love him as a coach. And I will go out there and try to do everything I can to play for them, just like those guys in San Fran do.
What do you think, Nate? I found it very interesting that in week one against the Rams, Titus Young and you both get carries. You both have one on the books now. Are you? My prediction is that the running game gets turned over to LeSure at some point as soon as he gets back. I think he emerges as your number one. Talk about what's going on at running back there this year.
Well, we have a lot of depth, obviously, right now. LeSure, he's a great talent. I thought last year losing him really hurt us. You know, it did elevate our passing game, but we would have been more balanced with him. He's a tremendous talent. He's the closest thing to Ontario Smith that I've seen. And I don't know if too many people remember Ontario Smith. Mm-hmm. He was one of the most mm-hmm. talented running backs I played with in Minnesota. I mean, he could run out of the backfield. He can shake, he can catch, he can move and juke, or he can run over you. And LeSure possesses those things, and he's a little bit taller and a little bit heavier. So he's going to give us a lot of versatility back there. But, you know, the thing about our offense is we're going to do whatever we need to do game to game. If we go out there and the team wants to give us the pass game, then we'll take advantage of that, especially with Calvin Johnson, the best in the game. If we need to run the ball to win, we'll do that too. So him coming back is going to shake up things a little bit in the backfield. But guys that are back there, they're just going to have to contribute in other ways.
You know where LeSure would be really effective? Outdoors in the cold. He's a big guy. It hurts in the fourth quarter trying to tackle a guy like that.
So you're really fighting for this outdoors thing.
Well, listen, I don't mind saying it sounds, frankly, Nate, like you don't want to get your mittens off and play in the cold. But this would be a great advantage.
Yeah,
for
enough of this cold.
All right, what I want you to do when the weather gets bad and snow starts falling, if you can send me footage of you right now as a grown man outside playing tackle football, I will sign the petition to knock the roof off of every stadium in the NFL.
Oh, he's Mr. Fancy Pants. He lives in the Hollywood Hills. He doesn't see snow anymore.
When it gets to be December 15th, Rank, we'll go outside and we'll play tackle football when it's 62 degrees out.
Not in 70-degree weather. I'm talking about somewhere cold and frosty.
All right, I'll jump on an airplane. I'll fly to the banks of the Three Rivers, Pittsburgh, PA, around Christmas time, and I'll play real tackle football. That's the way it's meant to be, outdoors. All right, listen, Nate, thank you very much for the time. We appreciate it. Remember, give me five on the side, down low, too slow. That's the way to go.
It's got to be the selling.
It's not going to be too slow, Joe. It's going to be too slow, Jim, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Do that with Harbaugh upon completion of your victory in the stick on Sunday night. Nate, you're a delight. Oh, also, I know you're a music guy. Real quick, give us one. Our official ambassador to music here is Brandon Lloyd of the New England Patriots, of course. But go ahead. You chime in. He gives us the music he's listening to get ready for a game. What is the music you're listening to right now in front of this game against the Niners?
Oh, man, it depends on the type of mood I am. Most likely I'm going to be a little bit angry, a little bit frustrated. I'm going to keep replaying last year in the back of my mind. So it's going to have to be something with a little aggression. And to be honest, I like the way Kanye West is completely disrespectful on tracks. So it'll probably be something with Kanye West rapping on it, talking about some nonsense so I can get my mind right to go out there and play at a very high intense level.
Excellent, excellent stuff there, Nate. Good choice there. And, yeah, it's fitting because a lot of disrespect, I think, subtle though it is, that the Niners go into Lambeau and win last week. You guys survive against the Rams at home. I think a lot of people are sleeping on you. Here's a chance to remind the world that the Lions are for real. So best wishes to you on Sunday night.
All right, thank you.
There he goes, the great Nate Burleson. I like him. He's delightful.
I like him a lot. Now I remember what I was going to ask him, too.
What was
this bums it? Well, his brother, his dad, Al, played in the CFL, so I wanted to ask if he ever caught a pass from Dieter Brock.
Oh, you stinker. Well
Dang
played.
It.
His father played CFL football.
Yeah, he was a CFL guy.
Do you know what team he was on?
He was on the Winnipeg
Blue Bombers.
Blue Bombers. That,
he did catch a pass from, I can almost guarantee it. Dieter Brock would have been his QB then, back in the 80s. Too bad. Well, you got what you wanted. You got your Dieter Brock drop. Congratulations, Rank. And congratulations to us for talking to swell fella Nate Burleson. All right, so that's a great game there. Lions and 49ers, like you say, on Monday night. Another dandy. Broncos at Falcons. Look at these games. Titans at Chargers is wonderful. Huge game. Cowboys at Seahawks. A lot of people like the Seahawks going to the playoffs this year, but if they go to 0-2, they're going to be in trouble. Let's see if the Cowboys are for real going on the road in the tough-to-play-in Seattle Stadium there against that good defense. Let's see if Romo
keeps
that going.
That's going to be a great game.
Bears, Packers, yeah, I mean, yeah, that's going to be a great one. Vikings, Colts, that'll go a long way to deciding who is going to lay down the welcome, Matt. And then you have a classic, Raiders and Dolphins. But quickly, Hanzeus, our two teams are hooking up, the Jets and the Steelers. Tell me why the Jets aren't going to win this game.
Why they aren't going to win? Darrelle Revis gets scratched with a concussion.
Look at you, so confident. That's the only way, unless 24 is on the field, you guys win that game.
I'm feeling good about this. I know Big Ben is going to be looking for a win here, coming off a rough game, but I think the Jets are in good shape. Can't do it for you.
Steelers in grave trouble if they don't win that game, that's for sure. All right, well, we have the Shame Report up there for your perusal by the time you listen to that. In all likelihood, Rank's great stuff, always pick sixes and beyond. Be on the lookout for that. NFL Fantasy Live, Handsome Hank doing his jazz. And the Around the League boys, at Dan Hanzeus and at Mark Sessler, NFL. Congratulations,
Fancy
Mr. Pants. Fancy Pants. Hey. You work at the NFL. Everyone knows it now. That's terrific news. Good for you. Bully for you. All right. Well, thanks to...
91?
Thanks to the great Nate Burleson, and that's how we're going to close it out here, Rank. And congratulations on the nice Dieter Brock drop there. In the middle of an interview, that's a rare one. I you know what? Listen how benevolent I am. I think that one should count for 1.5.
Whoa.
If you can do it during an interview with somebody, that's pretty good. I think that raises the stakes. Number 91, Kevin Green's the only 91 I can think of.
Let's do Kevin Green.
Who is there anyone else even worthy?
Former Los Angeles Ram.
There were some hot. Is that what Sergei Fedorov wore?
Was it Leslie O'Neill?
I believe so.
Fedorov wore 91.
Fedorov,
right?
Was 91.
Yeah,
that seems right.
Oh, I thought Leslie O'Neill. I'm thinking of Leslie Nielsen.
Oh.
I was thinking, I don't remember.
Naked Gun,
Was that Naked Gun 33 and a half?
Yeah,
I didn't see that one. I
don't remember.
Third. I didn't even see it. That's how much I cared
what?
About that. I didn't see it.
That's
I don't care for it.
Terrible.
The original is still a dandy. All right, listen, we jammed a lot in here. I feel, frankly, a little unsatisfied. I felt like we needed another half hour, but Black Tie cracks the whip and says what it's going to be, and that's why people out there say... At Fire Black Tie. Let him hear your thoughts about that.
Well, he made it up. I mean, it's his
That's
Twitter.
True. Are we going Fedorov or Kevin Green? You know what?
Kevin
I don't
Green.
Care. I'm not going Kevin Green.
Kevin Green.
He belongs in the Hall of Fame. All right, you know what, Rank? He was a Ram and a Steeler.
Yeah, of course.
You like the Rams. I like the Steelers. All right, we'll do that. But Fedorov, really, in the history of his sport, is greater than Kevin Green was in the history of
Dennis Rodman at one point wore 91 as well.
No, I think he wore 93, didn't
no,
he?
No, 91.
91, because it added up to 10.
He doesn't need any more attention than he's already got. At NFL UK Hank, at Adam Rank, at Damashek. That's how you track us all down. We'll see. We don't know if we're going to do another podcast yet because we're so jammed up. We'll try to do another one for you. If we don't, we'll talk to you on the other side of the week. But be on the lookout for it. You know, just subscribe on iTunes, and then all the guesswork's taken out of it. Speaking of guesswork, guesswork taken out of our of picks for week two. Rank and I jumping into the DeLorean and jumping into the future. Look for that, Sheck to the Future, on NFL.com coming up later in this week. All right. Fine job, fellas. Swell time as always. Black tie. Nice tip of the hat to the working man sitting in the turlet there, handing out those combs in the green juice. Disgusting. I would never put one of those in my hair. All right, we'll be back with more Huey and applesauce later on. But in the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.